Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. It is Monday, which means I am joined by you guys. You guys did a great job, as you have been now for the last few weeks, of sending in your questions. I apologize to those of you who sent in questions that were designated for Pete and me. I will make sure to run those questions by Pete, and we will put them on Tuesday's episode, Wednesday's episode. So you have not been forgotten or lost in the shuffle here, albeit only for a week, but that'll be fixed moving forward. Today's show is going to be a good one. You guys sent in some really good questions. You asked about fit with Kawhi or Clay, Brandon Ingram potentially being an all-star. You have some questions about East and West and conferences there. Really good day ahead of you guys. So let's dive right into it. You guys know where to find me. You guys know where to find the show. Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, and Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Let's dive into this. This is the first question. I don't know if I included it in last week's show or if we. It seems like a familiar question. It's right on that border of when I would have accepted questions. So I'll just make sure I hit it here. Who's a better fit, Clay or Kawhi? Kawhi is a better fit because of what he offers on defense. He is, in my opinion, going to potentially go down as one of the best perimeter defenders that the NBA has ever seen. And what that enables you to do, and one of my theories on the way that this roster has come together around LeBron is, surround him with enough perimeter defense or just general ability on defense and allow his life to be as easy as possible on that defensive side without necessarily losing anything. In Cleveland, they basically, you know, because they surrounded him with Kyle Korver, with J.R. Smith, with Jordan Clarkson, with Kevin Love, some guys who aren't necessarily as good of defenders as obviously as Kawhi, but just in general, like Korver is good team defensively in the team concept. Love, same kind of thing, but they aren't really necessarily the type of individual defenders that can lighten the load of anybody else on the court with them. And so the thinking here is, okay, what can we do? Who can we surround LeBron with to allow him to kind of take it easy on that side without creating problems for what the Lakers are going to be trying to do there? And as you saw last year, Cleveland during the regular season was abysmal defensively. I think they're the worst defensive team to ever play in the finals. And I think the Lakers are now, maybe they went too far in the other direction where they prioritized defense a little bit too much compared to shooting. We don't know. That remains to be seen. But that seems to be the general thinking there with how they put this team together. And, you know, we'll just kind of have to see how that turns out. But in terms of what you need from the second best player or possibly by the end of LeBron's contract, Kawhi might wind up leapfrogging him. So what you need from that second best or 1A player, Kawhi is about as good a fit as you're going to find. Just because, I mean, he's a top five talent when he's healthy in the NBA. He's a legitimate MVP type contender, and Clay just isn't quite that. Next question here, that was from by GT Big Timer, I think is how he's pronouncing that. Next one, though, from a friend of the show, Nick Batchelor. Hey, guys, got a question. Instead of the West and East players playing each other four times during the year, why not make it so each team plays another team equally three times a year? Wouldn't that be better despite some extra traveling? Couldn't that be done to balance things and make it more interesting? Any thoughts? Thanks. Nick Batchelor, Honolulu, Hawaii. All right, so yes, I think that it kind of starts to address the problem with the East and West caliber of teams. I think what you're going to see this year also is not just a caliber of team, but a style of play in the East is going to be different from the West. It's kind of going to be almost ALNL, where no, there isn't going to be, you know, different rules between the two conferences in this case, and leagues and in baseball. I think what you're going to have is it looks like teams in the East are bigger. They are still considering the five spot as important, and as that is the case, maybe that is maybe they haven't caught up to West basketball, whatever it might be, but I think that's what you're going to see there. And the issue here is, look, so long as the Eastern teams can be of lower caliber and still get into the playoffs, like, that's going to continue to have this kind of abomination of some of the teams there at the bottom of the conference heading into the postseason. And like, look, the Cavaliers lost LeBron James and still might potentially be a playoff caliber team. Like, that's freaking bananas. That's just that, and that I think says something about how bad the Eastern Conference is, and I think it needs to be addressed because it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it's a problem that continues to affect itself or create itself, because the East is going to be bad, and they're going to continue to be rewarded for being bad. So my minor little rant there. We're going to take another quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about an interesting lineup here that the Lakers could go to if Lonzo or Rondo's shot doesn't necessarily come around. So the question here, this comes from Saul the Kid. Everyone is saying that LeBron needs shooters around him. What do you think about a lineup, even for a few minutes, with LeBron, Hart, Svi, Kuzma, and Ingram or Beasley? I think Ingram is the one that needs to be included here in this lineup because he's another creator on the court that LeBron can work off of. And this is only for a few minutes, and who knows? Maybe they will see it like this. But this, I think, is something that you'll see if Lonzo or Rondo's shot isn't where it needs to be. And Ingram is a better shooter than in my opinion. I don't know if the statistics play out that way. I would be surprised if Ingram isn't also a better statistical shooter from three-point range than Rondo is or Lonzo is. But if those shots don't come around and the Lakers need a secondary creator who can also hit jumpers, then I think you'll see Ingram slide into the point guard role the way that he did last year. Now, the defensive machinations of this might be kind of might be a little iffy. You would have to do this only against certain lineups or certain matchups. But you could see it if Ingram's shot is better than both of those main point guards. You could see him slide up there and allow for another shooter on the court who also can create. And the other guys listed here, Hart, Svi, Kuzma, like, those guys aren't going to create for anybody else, but all three of those guys can at least catch and shoot and maybe attack a closeout or two. And hopefully, if you have Ingram and you have LeBron on the court, and those guys are as good as they are at creating for themselves and also others, you have guys on the perimeter who can also defend, mind you. Hopefully, Kuzma is better this next year than he was defensively last year, according to a ton of reports. It's something that he really focused on this year. And then hopefully, Svi can just not be a disaster defensively, but you never know. But if you have those guys out there, Hart, Svi, Kuzma, and you have LeBron on the court, you have the types of scorers who could take advantage of the looks that LeBron is going to get them, and then also go down on the other end of the court and hopefully not be disasters the ways that you saw some of LeBron's teammates last year in Cleveland. They were just outright disasters defensively, and I think this is going to turn into a theme here with the Lakers is. Okay, is the fit ideal? Maybe not necessarily. Are they the best players who are on the market? These free agent acquisitions? No, probably not necessarily. But the Lakers kind of had to limit themselves with this 1 year deal kind of stuff. So basically, the hope is just don't be a disaster. and we can make up for it with either growth from the kids or LeBron just being LeBron can help make up for some of that stuff as well. I'll take one more question here before we go to break. This is from Next Lakers Dynasty. Basically, can Brandon Ingram be, this is a longer question, so I'm going to summarize it. Can Brandon Ingram be a superstar or an all-star next year? And I think we can get to Ingram specifically, and I'll do that here in a second, but I think it's also a fun iteration of this question is we know LeBron's going to be an all-star. He's going to get the votes. It's going to work out to where he's going to be an all-star. So the question is, can the Lakers have a second all-star? Is there a player capable of becoming an all-star alongside LeBron to play there too? And of the guys that they have who might be able to do that, I think Ingram has the most potential in that regard. I think he's the most talented non-LeBron Laker. And then, you know, KCP might be solid, but I don't think he's going to draw the kind of attention or fan attention. Like, he's not going to do the things that's going to wow all-star voters or fans or anything. Kuzma, I could see doing it because he just really seems to... His presence really seems to reverberate around the Lakers fan base, and for a lot of the good reasons, right? One of the articles that I wrote for Silver Screen just this past week was how he seems to be getting the attention from the kind of people you want him to get attention from, right? Like, Kobe took him out to dinner one time, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson worked out with him. Channing Frye says on a podcast how much he likes Kuzma. I think he went so far as to say that he has like a soft spot for Kuzma and really likes the way he works. So I really think, you know, there was a conversation on Twitter the other day, who would I rather have between OG Anunoby and Kyle Kuzma? And I think I would lean OG because he's, I think, a year younger and he's a better defender right now. But it wouldn't shock me at all if Kuzma wound up proving that kind of consensus wrong. I like guys who work hard. It's one of those things that if I see questions about somebody's work ethic, like, that goes a long way in having me knock you in terms of what I think you're capable of. And Kuzma he's a workaholic. He loves basketball. He's all about basketball. He had that exchange with Nick Young saying, like, I don't know what these guys are wearing to the gym, and I'm not sure why they're wearing these things to the gym. I think that to me tells me that he's focused. Like, when you're at the gym, you're not being a model. When you're at the gym, you're there to work. And that's not to say that I think the guy that they were kind of making fun of was the guy from Washington, Kelly Oubre. There were some pictures about from him that looked like straight out of like Instagram model-esque kind of stuff, and they were kind of poking fun at that. And that's not, I'm not here saying that Oubre isn't putting in hard work at the gym, but I think it's kind of notable that Kuzma sitting there like, no man, I don't care if I look good. I don't get, you know, I more often than not, he's going to look good, but he doesn't care about that kind of thing. He's there to work, and he has impressed all the right people. I think he's really going to turn some things around. So Ingram and Kuzma to me are the two guys I think most capable of becoming all-stars alongside LeBron James. Lonzo, maybe, just because he's going to be in headlines as often as he's going to be. But those two guys, I think, have the most all-star potential next season. And then after that, maybe the Lakers land another all-star free agent kind of player next summer. Or hopefully one of those guys are able to reach that kind of caliber where it's not a, you know, maybe if things play out the right way, they could be all-stars. It's a, no, I'm jotting this dude down as an all-star next year. So we'll see how that plays out. Both those guys are really exciting, though. We're going to take one quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to answer the final question from Canon 5D2 about the Lakers kind of center situation, and it gives me an opportunity. We all went out. Some Lakers Twitter people went out yesterday being Sunday and got together, and I was able to bounce a couple ideas off of Pete and the other people there about center rotations, and I'll unleash that here when we come back. So the question here is about is basically I like your theory on LeBron playing center. Would you and Pete agree that the Lakers can get away without a big man because you have enough rebounding help from guards like Lonzo and Josh, and then you have Ingram to provide some potential shot blocking? Am I too high on these kids? I don't think it's really possible to be too high on these kids right now. Not that I'm saying that they have, you know, endless potential, not from that standpoint, but I think one thing that everybody's kind of overlooking here is the impact that LeBron's going to have on these kids' abilities to take the next step in their development. He is going to make life so much easier on them. Like when you hear people talk about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, yes, they're very exciting and very good young players, but they seem to forget that they're playing with Al Horford and that they were playing with Kyrie Irving. And next year they'll be playing with Gordon Hayward, right? That stuff matters, man. This idea that LeBron can make everybody in the world better with his mere presence on the court, and then I don't understand how people aren't now translating that or extending that theory or that fact, really, to what he might be able to do for the kids. And so I think when people ask, you know, how high are you on Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, Hart, who, what have you, I always come back to, they have never played with somebody who's going to make the game as easy as LeBron is going to make it for him. Now, the trade-off there is that there's more leverage. There's higher leverage that comes with playing with LeBron, because when the ball rotates over to you and you have an open corner three-pointer, it's more important that they hit that three-pointer next year than it was last year when nobody really had any expectations with this team. In my opinion, this is a playoff team, and with those kinds of expectations comes the leverage, comes the pressure. That's the potential, I guess, quote-unquote downside to playing with LeBron. But it is far outweighed by the upside that comes with him and how easy he makes that game look or will make it for everybody. And now regarding centers, the theory that I kind of bounced off of a few people today was that last year in the playoffs, you had two of the absolute best centers that the NBA has to offer, best traditional centers that the NBA has to offer. You had Joel Embiid and you had Rudy Gobert. And for stretches of their teams, the series that their teams lost, you saw that they were not playable. And it got me to thinking, maybe the Lakers are approaching the center position with, look, if the absolute best centers in the NBA are going to go through stretches where they are not playable in, you know, certain playoff situations, well, then why devote the type of cap space that you have to devote to the absolute best types of centers, right? And now that doesn't mean, you know, there's a middle ground between paying somebody the minimum and paying them max kinds of dollars, but that's kind of what I'm thinking here is that, and this is all, again, this is all hypothetical, this is all theoretical, and I want to see actual basketball so that we can actually start analyzing these things. But one of the theories that I have in the way that this team was put together was they said, okay, hopefully LeBron is open to playing center. And he had that 3-hour conversation with Magic, and that was the agreement that they kind of came to, right? Hopefully he's open to that, and that will help the roster or the rotation make a little bit more sense at the center spot. But they also might have been looking at it and saying, okay, because it's all a math equation, right? It's all asset allocation and cap space is in and of itself an asset here. And so they're saying, how can we divvy up our cap space positionally and have it make sense in terms of what wins games in the modern NBA? And I think it's why you see so much of not just their cap right now, but theoretically moving forward, their cap, I think, is going to be devoted to wings, threes, fours, twos types guys who can switch, who can defend, who can hit threes and do all those things. Like, I think that's where you're going to see the lion's share of their cap is going to go to wings. And I think you're going to see a smaller allocation go to the center spot. And I think what you're going to start to see, and it would be an interesting exercise to kind of break down asset or cap devotion to center spots across title contenders or teams that have won titles recently. And I think in Cleveland, it became too bloated in that respect. I think Tristan Thompson was making too much money. And as everybody saw, like, there were a lot of moments where he looked unplayable in playoff situations. And I think what the Lakers are going to do is they're going to continue to devote as little cap space, unless they get like an actual superstar at center. I think they're going to devote as little money, as little cap space to the center spot as they can and try to get by with it that way so that they have more cap space to devote to wings and to devote to the kids that are going to wind up having to get paid, the superstars that they want to sign moving forward. Their point guard position is going to be expensive if Lonzo pans out. So I think if you were to break down the way that their roster is actually, the way that their cap space is spread out across the roster, it looks to me like they're saying, how can we have as little money devoted to the center spot as we possibly can so that we have every single cap dollar that we can possibly spend on the types of wings that you absolutely have to have in the modern NBA if you want to win in the type of playoff situations that you see in finals series and Western Conference series and conference final series. Like, I think that's how that winds up being played. So next time I talk to Pete for Wednesday's show, I'll bounce that idea off of him basically as a theory, and we'll get his take on it. We're going to answer the questions that you guys asked on here on iTunes. I'll get those to Pete as well. We'll see if we have time. We'll do that non-Hall of Fame draft thing. I think that would be a lot of fun, and you get to see the competitive juices flowing between the two of us. Yeah, thank you guys for sending in those questions here to iTunes. If you send in a question in the form of a 5-star review, I will get to your question. I make that a promise. I'm hitting it a pretty high clip right now. We are in Monday, Wednesday, Friday things. I hope you guys enjoyed the show that I had with Jorge Sedano. That was a lot of fun. He's great there. I'm going to have a bunch of guests as we go through this offseason. Some will talk about current day NBA stuff. Some will just talk about their fandom as the Laker fans, all that kind of stuff. You guys will really enjoy that. Have a great rest of your Monday. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. And make it, you know what? Make somebody else's day brighter. Make that a goal. Improve somebody's day, whether it's yours, preferably somebody else's, but improve somebody's day. And I'll talk to you next time.